Have you ever felt the weight of being labeled all over the place because of your many passions? If so, let me ask you this. Are you ready to break free from the shackles of societal norms and boldly showcase your ability to innovate and turn vision into reality? Can you imagine aligning your passions, purpose, and profession without compromise? Well, you're not alone, and you're in the right place. I get it because I am you. I'm Jatia Jones of Jatia Jones Consulting, and I've walked the path of a multi-passionate. Welcome to the Confident and Courageous Clarity Podcast. Join me for inspiring conversations with multi-passionate CEOs who've turned their diverse passions into a force for change. We dive deep into our collective experiences, sharing invaluable lessons, and providing you with a strategic roadmap to manifest the life and business of your wildest dreams. This isn't just a podcast, it's a movement. And I'm not just your podcast host. I'm your partner in this dynamic journey. You, me, and the incredible community of multi-passionates. Get ready to unlock the confidence, courage, and clarity to help you become the world-changing multi-passionate CEO you were destined to be. Keith is an entrepreneur, storyteller, and catalyst for change. Born in Fresno, California, and raised by split parents and a wise, no-nonsense grandmother, he faced many adverse circumstances that quickly put him in the at-risk youth category. Only once he realized the power of storytelling as a galvanizing force for change did things begin to shift in his perspective and mindset. He realized that his true passion points back to his roots, supporting entrepreneurs, athletes, and at-risk youth through coaching, storytelling, and mentoring. In 2016, Keith formed the Pay Suite, a financial service firm committed to serving the needs of businesses in the retail, restaurant, and B2B market. Today, they are recognized as a premier brand helping businesses navigate the credit card processing industry. In 2020, Keith launched Catalyst Training and Development to fulfill a dream of helping entrepreneurs align their business with their purpose. His mission is to help entrepreneurs proactively integrate their core values into their business so they can build profitable and rewarding organizations. From that bio, I know you can understand why he is the perfect guest for the Confident and Courageous Clarity Podcast. Let's jump into this week's episode.
All righty. So they have gotten your bio, and welcome to the Confident and Courageous Clarity Podcast. I'm so excited to have you on. But I also want you to be able to tell the people who you are and what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for, first and foremost, for having me here, Jatia. It's ever since we connected, it's just been like, man, I can't wait to the next conversation. Like, when's the next conversation? Right? Like, so I'm very excited about that. So thank you so much for having me here today. My name is Keith Sconyers. I am an entrepreneur, storyteller, and catalyst. And as an entrepreneur, I help business owners in a couple of different areas. One of them is I own a payment consulting company that I've run for about 7 years, where I help companies determine which is the payment, like the right payment processor for them. You know, Stripe, PayPal, Square, and all the other thousands of providers that are out there, business owners get drowned in information, and it usually causes lots of frustration, problems with technology, money being held up at the processor. And so I built a business around helping business owners pick the right one, get the right support, get the best price. Outside of that, I've had a long passion for helping business owners, my own personal development journey that I've been on over the years. And 4 years ago, I started building a coaching and consulting company to help entrepreneurs achieve personal and professional freedom by providing them with the strategic, financial, and planning support that they need to grow a business and build a business that they want while honoring their core values and purpose. As a storyteller, I run a podcast called Purpose. And so that's what I do from a storytelling perspective.
And I love that you're wearing your brand today and always. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
So, I mean, I hope you guys are taking note. But I also love, because I know my experience starting out, or let me even rewind even more. Most of the multi-passionates that I work with, because we're so passionate, we dive in. It's like you have a vision, you have a dream, you just dive in because you're also really, really used to being great without much effort. And so your payment processing system or business would be, have been perfect like 10 years ago, because my first time waiting to get money from PayPal, I was like, wait, you mean I can't get all my money? What is this? So
Where
Right. I was like, cash out. What is going on?
money at?
So that is absolutely genius. And like you said, after our first interaction, I was like, he's my people. It's so great to meet others of us. Because it can be so lonely on the journey, right? But I also know for so many, it's like, but you're different. You've made it. So can you kind of tell us a little bit about how your story started out, your genesis?
My genesis, my origin story starts in Fresno, California. I was born and raised to a mom and a dad. My mom was a future real estate agent. My dad built houses, started working on houses with my grandfather when he was 8 years old. I was at every job site and open house, and people called me the real estate kid, right? And you would think that because my family had owned several million dollars worth of real estate before I was born, that I was destined to be successful. Well, that's not the case. My mom and dad split before I got even into the first grade. My mom became a single mom. My dad got involved in the wrong crowd. He ended up getting involved in drugs. He started selling drugs and he started using. And then he ended up getting incarcerated. One of my most exciting times as a young kid was me sitting in the back seat of my aunt's car wearing my Halloween sweater that glowed in the dark on my way to the penitentiary to see my father. My hero was behind bars for most of my childhood, up until the fifth grade when Child Protective Services took me from my mom and my stepdad because of disciplinary issues and tactics that my stepfather used. We didn't have the best relationship at the time. We have a great relationship today. But he was old school, right? And the way that he did things was the way they did it back in the day, right? But going into the fifth grade, Child Protective Services gave custody to my biological dad, who was still battling addiction, incarceration, and mental health issues. And during that period of time, I got expelled 6 times before I got to high school. I lost my virginity to a drug addict. On multiple occasions, I was involved in things I should not have been involved in. And that led to a lot of the behavioral issues that caused me to get kicked out of school. Seventh and eighth grade, I went to 4 different junior highs. Well, excuse me, three. I went to one twice, right? Because I was getting kicked out of school. We were moving a lot. We were always on the move, it seemed like every 6 to 12 months from whatever house we were living in, because my dad had stopped paying rent or whatever happened with a disagreement with him and the owner of the house. He ended up going back to prison when I was going into the first grade. Not the first grade, but as a freshman in high school, I was going into the ninth grade. He went back to prison. I went to go live with my grandmother. My grandmother was my best friend. Called her every day when I went to college. But that didn't mean that I followed her mentorship. I was still getting kicked out of school, had a 1.3 GPA. My freshman year in high school, I was in continuation school, got kicked off campus again. And then going into my sophomore year, I had a basketball coach say, "Hey kid, you can be a Division I athlete. I'm 6'6", don't play sports." Had no interest in sports because my stepdad was really into sports. And my biological dad said, "Hey, I'll bribe me $100 if you just try." So I did, of course. I don't know if he gave me that $100. I'm gonna still have to go back and talk to him about that. But I ended up getting a scholarship. I actually started playing. 4 years later, I got a scholarship to come play basketball at Portland State. Played there 4 years, didn't have the career I wanted to have, and graduated in 2006. 2006, I left, committed to be successful, and successfully completed the worst career launch in world history. I had 17 jobs in 11 years. Completely lost for a decade, sleeping on the floor of a furnitureless apartment almost 10 years after graduating from college. And one night, I laid on the floor and I prayed that if God would ever help me get out of that situation, I would help other people do the same. And that's when I decided that I would become a catalyst. In 2016, I started my payment consulting company while I was working for a nonprofit. And while I was working at the nonprofit, I realized nonprofit works really, really slow, which is not my pace. So that was what inspired me to actually start a business and leave and put in my 2-week notice, even though I did not have the resources to start a business. I was making $65 a month in my payment consulting company. I did not have the money to replace my salary, but I left because I felt like I would have been stealing if I stayed. And so ever since 2017 of March, I've been working for myself, helping business owners, helping them put money back on their balance sheet. And then in 2019, I started working on Catalyst, which is my coaching and consulting company where I do speaking, coaching, consulting, helping entrepreneurs holistically with their business. And so that's my background, my story, my journey, and that's what I'm up to today. And it's a little bit long of a origin story, I guess you say, but that is, who I am, what I'm doing, and what I'm up to in the world.
But I'm so happy that you shared all of that. And one, thank you for your transparency and vulnerability because so many of us try to hide the real truth, and the pain behind it. But when you were like, it's long, I'm like, we all can relate to that because clearly especially like the 17 jobs in 11 years, because so many of us are on this journey in search for the thing. Even if we don't know what the thing is, we have this innate thing inside of us. It's like, this isn't it and this is it. But that's absolutely amazing. Absolutely. And I think I told you this before and during our first conversation, but I love and I don't even know how intentional it is, but the words that you use to describe yourself, definitely as a catalyst. And how much intention was behind the name of making that the name of your business?
Initially, it's the only thing that I felt like really resonated with who I was and who I wanted to be seen as. And I think naming it that was just really the function of me creating I started working on a process or a tool on like how to figure out who you are, what you want, and how to get there, right? And when I thought about the word coaching, like that doesn't necessarily fully encapsulate, right? Like the work that I want to do and who I am. Neither does consulting, right? Like that doesn't necessarily encapsulate it either. But what I thought about was I thought about the basketball coach who approached me and said, "Hey kid, you could be a Division I athlete." That's who I want to be. I want to be the person who shows up, who has the resources, obviously, to be a coach, but to know that it's bigger than that, right? Know that, yes, I can coach you. Yes, I can consult you. Yes, I can, but I can also like open these doors as well. And I can see things that, and I can hear things that other people can't hear and can't see. And I can be part of helping people get where they want to go faster, right? Whether I'm their coach or their consultant, I just want to be the bridge, right? And so I think just me sitting down and kind of creating a tool that I was going to share and give away for free opened the door to me saying, "Hey, what if I started a business that was really all about that, that could from end to end help someone figure out who they are, figure out what they want, figure out what their purpose is, figure out what their core values are, figure out like who they wanted to serve, and then be the bridge as well for like opening up the doorway for them to connect with those people, help them build partnerships, but have like this open canvas that our relationship could be whatever it is versus me coming in and saying, well, I'm the coach, right? Or I'm the smartest person in the room over here as a consultant. Or it's not that. It's whatever we need it to be to help you get to the next step of your maturation of a person trying to figure out their purpose or launch that business or rebuild those relationships or whatever it may be that somebody is currently experiencing as a hurdle.
I love that. I do. And I love the customization piece of it, right? Because so many coaches or people who call themselves coaches these days, are templating things, right? It's very much so, come get these set of emails that's gonna make you make seven figures in like 90 days. And to hear you talk through, as we say in the South, the Rooter to the Tooter, right? of like who you are, what's your purpose, and then implementing and integrating that into like this profitable process, I can truly appreciate, because there's so much more to an individual than just the professional piece and just the personal piece. And so I've heard you mention both a couple of times. So, one of the things that for me, I used to always get frustrated with was people would be like, well, if you have a question, just ask. And I'm like, there's some things you just don't know that you need to know, and you just don't know what you don't know, right? And so hindsight's 2020. What's like one of the things that you might have supposed to have known, or I guess something that you know now that you wish you would have known then?
I think that what I wish I knew was I needed to heal from my childhood because it would, like, there's certain tools that you use when you're growing up in chaos. And if I were to give you an example, it's kind of like the kid who is unsafe picks up a rock and he closes his fist around it, right? And every single experience in life, because they had to fight for themselves, because they had to advocate for themselves, because they had to watch out for themselves, because they had to rely 100% on themselves in 99% of the cases, then they get through life like this with their fists clenched. And then along the way, they're presented with adversity and challenges and hurdles that they can't get over, right? They come to a fence and they can't climb the fence because their hands are closed, they're clenched. And it's only in opening up the hands and letting people see what's in them so that we can actually work on what's in the hand. And then getting to the place to where you can turn your hand over and let the rock go so that you can have open hands to climb the fence to get to the other side and get on your journey towards living your dream. And so for me, what worked for me, what helped me, what preserved me up until a certain point in my life was that my hands were closed and I learned how to advocate for myself, to fight for myself, to hold all of the pain inside of the hands, right? But over the past 18 months, I've had to open my hands up, examine rocks that I've been holding, and then work through the process of letting them go. Because in not letting them go, I had reached a ceiling in my development as a person, as a husband, as a father, and as an entrepreneur. And so when I went through Child Protective Services and they removed me from my mother and my father, my stepfather's home, and I was presented with the opportunity to sit down with a counselor and talk about it, I said I did not want to talk about it. And because I did not want to talk about it, I had to live my life from being in the fifth grade to a 40-year-old man with my hands closed and fighting and advocating for everything because I felt like I was the only person who could look after me. And so I think that what I wish I knew was that there was pour into my mind and my spirit. And I've learned a lot. But I also believe that holding on to things may have made it more difficult for me to succeed because I've had to rely on myself instead of being open and trusting other people. The other day, I was interviewing an entrepreneur, one of the most successful entrepreneurs in Portland, Oregon, restaurant space, been a part of 70 different restaurant concepts, currently works with about 30. Probably the most successful person in Portland when it comes to the restaurant industry. I asked him, what was the most challenging thing for restaurant operators that he has had to work with, that he has had the opportunity to work with, actually? Because his company partners with these creatives who want to bring their vision to life, bring their business to life. These creatives who, have these amazing menus that typically don't succeed because they don't have the business side figured out. He's built a career around being the business side for these creatives. I said, what's the most challenging thing for these entrepreneurs? He said, it's trust. They typically come from backgrounds where they've had to endure a lot of adversity and they don't necessarily trust other people. And so, if you can't trust other people, how do you actually build an organization and a culture and a second in command and other teammates who can help bring your vision to the world if you don't trust them? The only way you can trust them is you have to go back. You have to go back into the real reasons for why you don't trust your manager, why you don't trust the other C-level executives in your organization, why you don't trust your new hires, why you don't trust your middle managers. That's what I would say. I wish I knew was that I needed to go back to Tia.
He, like, this interview can be done right now. Like, you touched on so much because, one, I've always called myself a recovering, well, not always. I've always called myself a control freak, more recently, a recovering one, right? And I think I shared with you that I started my personal becoming last year, and it was really diving in deep and doing the self work and awareness to truly understand and unlock the person that I've locked away for the acceptance of society, right? Because as multi-passionate, all of us, we have been told that we're too much or you're too this or you're too that, right? And so you lock away a lot of you and you tend to forget who you really are. And a lot of that starts really, really young. And we don't realize some of the things that have conditioned us to become. And so, as you were speaking, it just made me flashback through my life, a bunch of clients. And the root has been like going back. And for so many people, going back is deathly fearful for them or causes fear in them because, for whatever their reason may be. But every last one of them, it's like relinquishing that trust and that delegation is like the main reason that hinders their business, especially those solopreneurs that scale to like 6 and 7 figures. And now all of a sudden I'm at an impasse and it's hard to stop the motion of making money to fix or go back, like you were saying. And that is such a good point. And I know you've spoken a lot of times about how pain is the catalyst, right? It takes a special type of person to say, I'm gonna jump in front of this freight train that I've been running from for so long. And I know you said you were lying on the floor and then you made this decision. Like, how did you gumption the courage to say enough is enough or choose you or make the decision? Like, was there any trigger or factor that just kind of, or was it just innate? Was it something that was just planted in your soul and it's like today's the day?
That's a really good question. I think that deep down was this desire that I didn't go through all of it for nothing. You know, when I tracked my story up to, I'm really big on talking about story, you know, and in fact, it's part of the process that I encourage people to take is to understand story about them, about their life, about what it means. Because for me, I just felt like for so long, Jatia, I mean, a decade of, you know, job after job after job after job, and people saying you shouldn't be in sales and you shouldn't be doing this, and you shouldn't be doing that. And by the way, like pursuing it with everything I felt like I could, you know, like I'm out here walking to seminars in the rain, you know, I'm out here getting my, you know, my tags have been expired because I couldn't afford to get them renewed. And I'm out here getting my car towed and having to take my belongings out of the car because I knew that I was going to have to spend more money than the car was worth to get it out. And I didn't have the money to get it out anyway. And I think that I just wanted so badly, so badly for my story to not be what I thought it was. Like what I started to feel like, Jatia, was I started to feel like my destiny was to be where I was because I was trying so hard. You know, like I was trying so hard to change my situation and it wasn't helping. I was the most motivated person in Portland, Oregon, Jatia, an introvert who spent most of his time in the dorm when he wasn't at basketball practice or class, listening to R&B music, downloading, you know, I hope the statute of limitations is done because I was out here on BearShare. I was out here on LimeWire. Can you know when please forgive me, Usher, you know what I mean? But these are my confessions. I got
You're
that
not alone. You're not
on
alone.
LimeWire. If I could afford it, I would have. But yeah, right,
But there are many
But I just didn't. I think we're either motivated by a couple of different things. One of them we're motivated by the dream, the house, the connections, the influence, the Christmas, you know, like being able to give gifts at Christmas, being able to bless families. For me, it was the nightmare for so long. And it was me running, trying to run away from the nightmare of what the present, like what my present life existed of and what my current experience was. Like I'm talking about being a college graduate, having your 4-year degree, being attractive, being intelligent, having lots of connections, Jatia. I'm talking about I have 10,000 people in my phone. Right, that I met over the years. I was at every networking event and conference on like how to personal development, right? Like I'm out here and I'm sleeping on the floor of a furnitureless apartment eating knockoff mac and cheese. For me, it was the nightmare of if I don't. I think sometimes we not motivated, Jatia, because we have not truly sat down and said, okay, got it. We don't want to do the work. However, here's what we're saying yes to. Right, we think that by procrastinating and avoiding and not doing the work, like that we get to run from the decision we're actually making. The actual decision is that, and sometimes it's not about our work, sometimes it's our relationship, right? We think it's funny to go to counseling. we think like we don't think about the decision we're actually making. And the decision that I realized was that if I don't change, if I don't figure it out, if I don't change my mindset, if I don't get new skills, if I don't learn how to trust, if I don't let go of the things that cause me to be unproductive, then this is what life is going to look like right now, right here. And it doesn't matter if it's a business, it doesn't matter if it's a relationship, it doesn't matter if it's just your own personal mental health. The same actions generate the same results, which then in the future, at some point, because we don't know when that day is, it could be the last day today. And if we've been doing and behaving the same way that creates the same results that we ultimately don't want, then that will be our legacy. And so for me, it was the nightmare of if I don't change, this is what's going to be my legacy. This really talented, handsome, connected, hardworking man accomplished nothing and did nothing for anybody else because he was so consumed about trying to help himself. And having a grandfather who I looked up to, who I never met, also was another motivator. My grandfather was a military veteran who was discharged for medical reasons, who passed away when he was 41 years old because of a tumor on the base of his brain that he became aware of in his 30s.
Wow.
Even though he spent most of his that previous decade sick, he had got a contract to tear down homes that were being destroyed for eminent domain. They were being taken back from by the government because they wanted to build a highway. He got that contract to tear those homes down, and what he negotiated was for him to be able to take some of the wood. He took the wood and he built my grandmother a 6-bedroom house on a half an acre that he had got. That was the home that I lived in high school, that still today exists, that my dad lives in, has never had a mortgage on it. So I couldn't make any excuses. I'm like, here I am. My grandfather has achieved so much, being sick, having sciatic pain in his back, causing him to fall on the job, and the love he had for his family and the 9 children he had with my grandmother didn't stop him from pursuing what he wanted to pursue to provide for his family. There's no way, no way I'm going to live my life pretending like I had it harder than him. I have to keep moving forward because it's my responsibility to carry forward his legacy. Right? And so I think it's the tension between the dream of honoring my grandfather, the responsibility, really not even a dream, but more of a responsibility, and the nightmare of what I would be saying yes to if I quit.
That's something good to really highlight because not many think about the opposite, right? It's only, and you know what I've realized too is I'm very technical in my terminology, and not many people know the difference between vision and sight. And they're only focused on what they can see, which is sight. And so many people lack vision. Right. And so, because I just did last weekend a workshop for purpose-driven entrepreneurs to create their business plan. And many of them didn't understand why I was so focused on strategy. And I had to explain to them funding institutions are real comfortable with funding what they can see. It's right here. I believe in it. I know it exists. I know it's going to make me money, right? Because it's already has proof it's there. But when you start talking about a vision or a dream or this idea, they're not going to be comfortable with something that they cannot see unless you have a solid plan to get them there. And that's what they're funding. And so the strategy is the most important piece when it comes for visionary. So as you were talking, that's all I could think about is I was like, the difference between sight and vision. And to be able to say, hey, the vision is going to be this vision is going to turn into sight if I don't. And this vision is going to turn into sight if I do. And then my next thought was, there's so many different definitions of legacy. So I'm like, I need to start asking, like, what's your definition of legacy on the podcast? Because for so many, your definition was continuing the legacy, right? Of someone you never met. Your grandfather's definition of legacy was providing for, right? And most of us are doing it for some type of legacy, but it may not correlate in that fashion. And so there was so much in what you just shared, like so much. But specifically the part about the vision will turn to sight if I do, and the vision that will turn to sight if I don't.
Wow. That is powerful right there. Like, that is amazing. Thank
and you,
you
said it.
Yeah. And you, right. And you framed it. So, man, that is amazing. Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing.
That can be scary. Like, because most of us, I know I've experienced there's a major difference between the way females and males go about our goals, right? And so many of us, females specifically, are doing it for others, right? And so the drive is there to do it for someone else. And so when I speak to us most times, I'm like, well, what is your dream? And it's always about somebody else. It's never about them, right? And so to hear you talk about how your dream was for it not to be a nightmare, which was your current, I was like, that's really real, because so many of us females don't really look at the burnout, the crumbs that we're given when we really want to give a whole 5-course meal because we're tired, and all the different things of what it's like by giving from an empty cup, because they don't consider themselves. They still don't see it as a nightmare, and it really, really is. And it becomes a nightmare, not just for them, but for everybody that they call themselves serving. And to start to use that to really be the catalyst for them to pivot. Because, yeah, it really is, coupled with so many other things, a nightmare. It's just a normalized one, right? And so what I also heard was that you didn't allow it to become normalized, even though it was your normal. Like, from such an early age, you were like, this is not it, right? So I love, 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 love that. I have so many questions. And I'm like, I'm looking at the clock and I'm like, like, we might have to have a part two. So is your podcast, and purpose is your thing, and it's a root value of yours. What would you define as, like, or distinguishing between your passions and your purpose, or what do you identify as your purpose?
I think that purpose is so multifaceted, especially for a multi-passionate, that we sometimes follow the process of crafting one from incredible people who are not multi-passionates.
That is factual, yes.
Right? And because we are not wired that way, we sometimes feel like at times there's something wrong with us. When it's
most
just
times, yes.
Right. And it's just not the way we have been wired. Right. Now, I'm a person of faith. Or at least not every, I understand everyone's in a different place as it relates to that, but God didn't make me that way. So why am I trying to, or allowing myself to, use someone else's framework for how life should be lived or how work or passion should be pursued, when he made them the way that he made them, and he made me the way that he made me, or she made me, or the essence, or God, or, you know, like, I've been made a certain way. And so for me, the way I define my purpose is multifaceted, but it is really a number of different areas. And I created an acrostic for purpose that I believe helps me stay in alignment or stay in my strength zone for who I am, how I'm supposed to show up, and who I'm supposed to serve. And the first aspect of that is the P in purpose. The first one stands for principles. What are the principles that I'm going to live my life by on a daily basis? For me to feel motivated, for me to feel in the zone, I first and foremost have to honor what those are in my life. The second thing has to do with unique capabilities. I've been uniquely made in a certain way, and I have to operate in those unique strengths for me to feel engaged, for me to feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Otherwise, I'm going to be easily distracted. I'm going to be over here doing this, or I'm going to be not feeling inspired because it's not my unique capability. It's not what I'm supposed to be doing. It's not what I was designed for. It's kind of like if you walked out of your office today and you walked by a Mercedes Benz and you saw somebody had poured dirt in it and built and planted an amazing garden. It may be an amazing garden sitting in the middle of that Mercedes, but I can guarantee you that was not the use or intended purpose of that Mercedes, right? The R in purpose is for relationships. One of the areas I've grown tremendously over the past 18 months is in my marriage. Honoring that relationship brings me more fulfillment than anything I've ever encountered or experienced in work, right? But in order to do that, I had to go back, right? So when we think about our relationships, it's not just our family. It's not just our significant other. It's not just our children. It's those relationships too that cause us to go back and work and heal. But it's also, you know, as a former athlete, I struggled to figure out who I was, what I wanted, and how I was going to achieve it. So who do I want my work to have the greatest impact on? When I was going to work with my father, and it was the entrepreneurs who were paying him to build houses and remodel houses and do all this work, and they were paying me because I was kicked out of school. They were paying me to clean up around the job site. Those were the people who I looked up to when I was getting kicked out of school. So when I thought about the relationships in terms of who I wanted my work to have the greatest impact on, in terms of my purpose, first and foremost, I wanted to be a great husband. I want to be a great father. As it relates to work, I want my work to impact athletes, former athletes, entrepreneurs, which I get to do today through my work. And then I wanted to go speak. I wanted to be an example for other at-risk kids, right? And so now I dedicate my time to speaking at schools. I spoke at Portland Community College recently, Chemeketa Community College, Wilsonville High School. I go and I tell my story because I want other kids that maybe look like me who've experienced certain things I've experienced to be able to feel like they have hope. So that's the R in purpose. Then P is the profession, right? And so what aligns with the core values and principles, the unique capabilities, the relationships I want to have an impact on, what profession allows me to actually execute on that and feel like I have alignment? Well, being a catalyst training and development allows me to do that, actually, which is why I built it in that way. The O in purpose is for outcomes. When I was laying on the floor of that apartment that had no bed, that I couldn't afford, I had a $500 car outside of my house. I was eating macaroni and cheese. It's very clear that the outcome that I wanted was not that. I was also very clear that I did not want to be told what to do, that I wanted the freedom to be able to work on multiple projects because I am a multi-passionate, right? I wanted to be able to control my own schedule. I wanted to be able to, go to counseling to work on me, right? And not have to ask for permission of whether I could have that day off to go do that, right? So those are some of the outcomes that I wanted for my work and my life, right? That I felt was in alignment with me. And then S was the story. Sometimes we carry a story that because we never had it, we don't deserve it. Sometimes we carry the story that we need to focus when it's not the way we're wired. Sometimes we have the story of because mom and dad split and never had a marriage, I'm not good enough, or I'm not supposed to have one. Maybe because it's my skin color, or maybe it's because of, various other things that are out of our control, that we have stories that are tied to those things that we're holding on to that we need to let go of. So There's the letting go of stories, and then there's the crafting of new stories. So there are times where we realize we need to actually sit down and write a new story. And I think that in writing, sometimes people say, hey, you should write your own eulogy. Think about how you want to be remembered. Think about what legacy means to you. That is where we get the opportunity to write a new story. And it is in writing that new story, I think, that we can actually find the language that we need to communicate with ourselves when it's hard, and also to communicate with others when it's hard for them. And then the E in purpose has to do with execution. Because you can think up all the beautiful plans, you can have the core values and the principles and the unique capabilities and all the relationships that you want to serve, and you can have the right profession, you can have your goals and your vision board, and you can have the beautiful story. But if you don't get up tomorrow and execute, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And so when I think about crafting my purpose, I think that there's just a bigger conversation that it's very easy when you have this one sentence about your purpose, right? Like, my purpose is to live with integrity while taking responsibility for my commitment to personal growth, right? Within that are all of my core values, but I think that the growth is the piece. That mindset with Carol Dweck talks about mindset, right? Fixed mindset versus growth mindset. I think it takes, yes, having a purpose, but also recognizing that you will never arrive and that there's always new rivers to cross and mountains to climb.
That's your acronym for purpose. Absolutely. And one of the things that has become more apparent, especially in 2023, with it 2023ing, as I've said, is that if you're not evolving and changing, you're no longer here.
Yeah.
You're no longer here. And the more we fight it, you know, and so I love all of that. So like I said, I want to be a good steward of your time. But you know, you may not know, but one of my favorite sayings is, it ain't no fun if the homies can't have none. Snoop Dogg, right? So it's like vision for, we'll just take Catalyst or as a whole. So after you've done the thing for the next decade or so, or the next 20, what does the world look like? How has it changed? How has it evolved from you walking in purpose? And how can we help?
Wow. I think that what I hope for the result of Catalyst is that individuals, entrepreneurs, executives, no matter what their background is, believe that they can create the kind of impact that they have on the world without having to sacrifice their values. That they can have a dream. Yeah, and they can have a dream, and they have people that are in their corner all around the world that will help them get there faster.
I love that. I love that. I'm always quoting my nephew because he used to say, I can't wait to be bigger, bigger, taller, taller, and sooner, sooner, quicker, faster, right? And so I hear him as you say that, because one of the underlying purposes of what I do and why I do it, and especially because of the podcast, is I want other multi-passionates to see multi-passionates who have, right?
Yeah.
Because multi-passionates are not valued until you hit C-suite, right? And a lot of times we don't know their stories. It's like, oh, you have this diverse background, you'll be great as COO or CEO or whatever the case may be. But as you're starting out, they just want you to be a drone most times and follow the leader and follow these orders. And so, like you said, you're not made that way. You're uniquely made. And I want to cast a light on multi-passionates, and that it's okay to be different. You should embrace that. It's your superpower, all the things, right? And so with that, I love that integral piece and the authenticity piece of the outcome of what you do. But I definitely want to be a part of it in any kind of way. And I know I'm speaking for my audience as well. I know they do too. So like, I know the first time I actually asked for help, I was so humbled and thankful for the response that I got, right? Because I was always the helper and the giver and the doer, and never once took into consideration that, hey, they're waiting their turn to be able to pay me back, right? Or just would love to be a part of whatever I was concocting. Because there was always something, and the overwhelming yeses that I received once I asked, because for me that was weakness, right? You do this by yourself, you figure it out. Changed the game for me. It really truly changed the game for me, and it really did start to catapult a lot of things in life. And so I made sure I always had an ask ready. And so what would your ask be? How can people help you and support you?
Yes, thank you for bringing that back around too, because I missed that piece. It was like, how can we help? Like, I missed that piece. The where I need help is if you know organizations who are looking for someone to come in and speak, I love that opportunity. I have the podcast. So if you know people, I have this podcast. It's called Purpose. Katia, I've had the honor to have you on. And I interview people who have and continue to overcome adversity to live their purpose. So if you have people that are out there making a difference, being catalysts in the world, I would love an introduction. I'd love to have those people on the podcast. Number three is that we are growing in 2024. So I'm looking for people who, maybe see themselves as catalysts, where they would like to maybe potentially look at catalysts, a potential employer in the future, or that want to get into opportunities that our clients are currently offering. So we currently offer opportunities in commercial real estate, business brokerage, the financial services industry. Business advisors will be hiring those internally. And so we're looking for people that are looking for opportunities that want to do business the way that we do business, which is integrity, purpose at the center of everything that we do, but also helping business owners get where they want to go faster. So those are the three asks: opportunities to speak, opportunities to interview, and opportunities to work with people either in partnership or as in hiring them to work for us or our clients that are growing and looking for people that are purpose-driven.
I love, love, love. And I will definitely, the way my brain works, this is a natural connector. So I've already thought of like three people. And so I will be sending them your way. So I love this. I appreciate who you are, what you're doing, what you stand for. Thank you for your time and your gifts. My last and final question would be, what's just one last thing you want to leave with the people? Yeah.
I would say that, I always take myself back to some of the situations. I think when I share about sleeping on the floor of the furnitureless apartment, sometimes I think people can maybe get the depiction of the in their mind that that was like the lowest point. Like, that wasn't necessarily the lowest point. My lowest point probably was my lowest point and my highest point was my dad was my hero. He still is my hero, even though he did not reach his potential because of the things that he wrestled with. I think that sometimes we don't have the confidence to move forward because we don't think we're good enough. And my dad, I think the way I think because my dad always told me that better days are coming. He's the one that taught me how to have a hopeful mindset, even though he wasn't strong enough to execute on it. I am sitting here today as an entrepreneur that's been able to help business owners all across the country and in multiple countries, actually. And the person who helped me have a positive or a hopeful mindset is a per is my father, who battled with addiction, incarceration, and mental health issues still to this day. And I would say that that's my highest moment. And my lowest moments were when he was struggling and he did not understand how valuable and powerful he was. So the thing I want to leave with people is you are enough and you have gifts that have been given to you and you have a responsibility to bring them to the world. And sometimes you can't pay attention to how you feel about yourself because you won't always feel capable of executing on the dream, the gifts, and the vision that has been given to you. So when you feel like you can't, I'm here to beg you to continue. And that's what I want to leave with everyone.
Thank you. That's so good. Because I tell people all the time, they're like, oh, you're doing so amazing. And I'm like, every hour on
Yeah.
that. So like
Yeah.
it that is even on the easy days. So yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yep.
That's
Absolutely.
so
Thank you.
good.
Yeah.
Thank you. This has been great.
Yeah.
Like I say, I thank you for your time, your gifts, and the opportunity to be on your podcast.
Yeah.
I always send out what I'm listening to as part of like my newsletter stream, and I have one of your episodes up and loaded and ready to go
Really?
out to
Oh
them.
my
So
gosh. Thank you so
I
much. I
wanted it
think
to
you
go out before this actually aired,
did.
so it'll be like a
Yeah.
1-2 punch, and they'll be
Yeah.
like, "Who's this key person? Let me go follow." So
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'll be sure to send that to you too when it goes out. But thank you. Thank you for tuning into another episode of the Confident and Courageous Clarity Podcast. I hope you found the incredible stories and insights shared to be helpful. Now, before you go, I want to take a moment to express my genuine gratitude to each and every one of you. Your commitment to aligning your passions, purpose, and profession is what makes this podcast community so special. If you resonated with any of today's episode, I encourage you to hit the subscribe button. By subscribing, you're not just joining a podcast, you're becoming a part of a movement that celebrates the brilliance of being multi-passionate. To amplify this movement, I need your help. Share this podcast with your friends, colleagues, and fellow multi-passionates. Let's create a ripple effect of empowerment and inspiration. Lastly, I'm eager to hear your thoughts. What stood out the most in today's episode? Drop a comment or share your takeaways on social media by using the hashtag Confident and Courageous Clarity Podcast. Your insights might just spark a connection or the clarity someone else needs. Remember, the power of multi-passionates lies in our collective journey, and by sharing our stories, not only do we inspire each other, but also break down barriers and redefine success on our own terms. Your support means the world, and together we're building a space where multi-passion meets purpose and dreams evolve into reality. Stay confident, stay courageous, and let's continue this transformative journey together. Until next time, keep thriving and becoming the world-changing, multi-passionate CEO you were destined to be. If you're not a part of the community and desire to join us, click the link in the show notes or visit jatiajones.com/community.